Isaiah chapter 26, we're going to look at verses 1 through 8, and of course we'll have some supporting verses also. The title of this particular lesson is Peace, Perfect Peace. So I want us to think about, sometimes we get into discussions in our class about what's happening in our world. We're hearing about wars and rumors of wars and things like that. And we're concerned, and we're having other people share with us their concerns. So I want us to be thinking about that as we look at this passage. Think of the numbers of those who died to preserve the freedoms we enjoy today. The Revolutionary War, there was 25,324 that died. The Civil War, there was 498,332. World War I, 116,710 died. World War II, 407,316 died. The Korean War, 54,546 died. The Vietnam War, 58,098 died. First Gulf War, 293 died. And the Iraq War, 819. And I love our nation. I know we're not perfect. And I know we can't really find the United States of America in God's Word. I understand that. And I know we're in a mess spiritually in our nation. But I love my brothers and sisters in Christ in this nation. I'm concerned for all of us. And I have a strong desire to lead other people to Christ. I'm going to be doing an evangelistic distribution of gospel tract distribution with some guys in Ohio later. I desire to see people saved, then I desire to see them discipled so that they mature in Christ. I love America because the founding of America, I believe, was of the Lord. I think when you look at the Declaration of Independence, you look at our Constitution, you look at what was taken from God's Word to put into those early documents, it's obvious it was about God, Jehovah God. Of our Bibles, not Islam, not anything else, which is all false and foreign. So with that in mind, I don't worship America. I don't worship any president that has ever lived. Some were definitely better than others. So I know there's a lot of controversy, but when you look at our nation, we have good times, we have bad times. If you look at my personal life, I had good times and bad times. If I look at your personal life, you really had some bad times and some good times. And our problem is three letters. It's sin. So with these things in mind, the reason we have war is because there is war in men's hearts. Hearts that are full of sin are always going to be full of war. So right now, we can stand back and you can watch the news and things. And you see what's going on and you say, what a mess. What's the world coming to? Well, if we were to sit down and talk with Tony, what's going on with his marriage? You say, what's going on here? Well, it's three letters. It's sin. Our problem is sin, whether it's husband and wife, whether it's a teenage son or a teenage daughter, whether it's your employees at work or your employer at work. The problems we have is three letters. It's sin, and that affects a whole nation. But if we're not careful, we'll get so busy looking at the nation that we don't say our problems all go back to three letters, sin. And that's what Jesus Christ came and died for. The Bible says, and I'm leading up to getting into Isaiah 26, the Bible says in James 4, you lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have, because you have not. So, war is a part of man's sinful nature. We were born dead in our trespasses and sins. What you see with what happened with Lucifer in heaven, who became Satan, that affected a third of the angels, that came to this earth through two humans God created, is what we're seeing in ourselves and one another. It's sin. It all originated there, and it's still happening. So, the sinful nature of man makes a sinful world, and a war is always going to be a part of this world until Jesus returns. Revolutionary War, Civil War, World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, First Gulf War, and Iraq War, all of these. And there's many more that's not even I didn't even mention. So, over 1.1 million men and women have died to guarantee our freedom as Americans. They gave their all so that we might enjoy all the blessings of this great country. So, I want us to think about why we're in the state that we're in right now as a nation, and also how do we find peace, perfect peace, in our souls, in our minds, in this world in which we live. So, Isaiah 26, verses 1 through 8. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates, that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. This is talking about a redeemed Israel. Verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace. How will this happen? You, talking about the Lord God, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Well, that's impossible. I can't keep my mind on him. How can I keep my mind on God like that? Well, how do we keep our minds on our cell phones all day long? It's a choice we make. Because he trusts you, trust in you, trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah, New King James Version here, talking of God, the Lord is everlasting strength. For he brings down those who dwell on high, the lofty city, he lays it low. He lays it low to the ground, he brings it down to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, the feet of the poor, and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. O most upright, you weigh the path of the just. Yes, in the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you. The desire of our soul is for your name and for the remembrance of you. So basically, this passage speaks of Israel being back in their land, but we also see Isaiah speaking of future things that pertain to those who will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, supposedly, the redeemed will sing this song of praise during the millennial thousand-year reign of Christ. So right now, we're all wondering if this peace treaty and this peace deal that our president is really pushing with Israel and Hamas and trying to bring peace, where some people are wondering, well, isn't this what the Antichrist is going to do? Is bring peace, and then 3.5 years, it's going to be so peaceful, the world is going to just be saying, praise the Lord. But then after 3.5 years, he's going to break it. Chris, isn't the rapture of the church supposed to be right before the 7-year tribulation period? Well, theologically, we lean that way, according to what Dr. Rogers taught us all these years, that the very next thing prophetically to happen is the rapture of the church. Everything is in place. Is that going to happen soon? I think it's going to happen soon, but I'm not going to predict a time. I don't think we should, but I think it's going to happen soon. But I'm not going to sell my house. I'm not going to do nothing. I'm going to keep leading people to Christ, keep living my life, and hopefully have a peaceful mind until the Lord does take us out of here. Only God the Father knows when Jesus is coming back. Jesus said that. It does look like the signs are everywhere. And Hal Lindsey, and I've said this many times, he said, when you see all the what Jesus talked about, you'll see all these things. Hal Lindsey used to say, when you see all these things happening at once, recognize he's at the door. I don't know if there's anything else we need to see than what we're already seeing. I mean, everything's in place. But we need to be peaceful in the midst of this, give glory to God, lead people to Christ. So, this is talking about the city of God and then the city of man. And that's where we have to be careful as a nation that we love. We need to remember there is the city of man, what we develop, what we do, what we put in place. And right now, a lot of people are aggravated with what's happening in America and what's happening all over the world. The city of man. There's the city of God. One is temporary, One is forever. So, again, look at verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace. How? Whose mind is stayed on you. Why would my mind stay on the Lord Jesus Christ in chaos? Because I trust him. That's it. He saved us. We have a home in heaven. We don't have to go to hell. What can we not trust him for? His son died on a cross. It's not just reading what he wrote by the Holy Spirit. We see the fulfillment of it all the way through the Old Testament. We see it now. We see it in the New Testament. We see it even now. The fulfillment of everything God said in his word. So therefore, I can trust him. And the fact that he sent his only begotten son to this earth to die because of this three-letter problem we have that's affecting everything, this sin. Because of that, he did die. He was buried. Third day, he was raised. It's all true. Even Josephus said that this is true, though he did not necessarily believe Christ was on the only way to heaven. But he said, this did happen. Bottom line, it happened. All right, I'm going to simply trust him in this moment called time because I don't really have any option. But at the same time, I've watched, even when he was born in Bethlehem, it was prophesied that he would die. Even in the Garden of Eden, it was prophesied that he would die. So, Harry Ironside, in his commentary on Isaiah, he said this, this third verse may well apply not only to the remnant in that coming day, but to every trustful believer in all dispensations. Perfect peace, rest of heart, notice, rest of heart and mind, that's talking about the soul, and freedom from worry and anxiety are found only as we learn to commit all our ways to the Lord and trust him implicitly to undertake for us. So, perfect peace, where do we get this? Comes when we fix our minds, fix our faith on Jehovah God of the Bible. We say, God said it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. All right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So, not only do we have the written word by the Holy Spirit, and we watched all of this come true perfectly, I trust him because what he says, he does. Even the sending of his son to die. Not only that, I have the indwelling Holy Spirit, and one of his fruits is peace. And as I abide in him and keep my mind on him, I experience the peace that passes all understanding inside of me, in my heart, mind, my soul. I experience that perfect peace when we fix our minds and fix our faith on what God says in his word. So with these things in mind, number one, this may have to be a two-parter. Number one, the basis of our peace. Where do you base this? Well, we base this peace, this perfect peace, we base this on a trustworthy God. Verse 3 again says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind, notice, yours and mine, our minds, is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So, we can trust God because of what his name says about him. He keeps his promises he has written in his word. So Jehovah God, our trustworthy God, has said this about himself. He wrote this by the Holy Spirit in his word. He said, Hebrews 6:18, it is impossible for God to lie. The reason we should wake up each morning and spend time in the word of God before we get up and go is because God says in his word that he cannot lie. So what's written in the word from God, it's going to happen. Even emotionally, if we're watching the news, if we're keeping up with stuff and we're listening to other people and they're anxious and that anxiety can splash over to me and you, if we keep our mind on the word of God and say, I can't explain all this to you, but you can mark it down. God said it in his word. That settles it in my mind. I'm not going to deviate it for it. Hebrews 6:18 says, it is impossible for God to lie. I'm going to rest. This is my rock. I'm going to rest right here in the word of God. No matter what goes crazy in the Southern Baptist Convention, no matter what goes crazy in our local churches all over this world, I'm going to take a deep breath and say, the Bible tells me so, and I'm going to trust Him till God calls me home. That's it. Even if it means your wife, since we're all men here, as your wife leaves you or your children leave you, which you it would that would be hurtful, but basically in love, you would just like your son, Gary. Whether he gets this or not, prayerfully he's going to come to it, but you still got to stay right here while he's coming to it. You can't deviate. Let me tell you something beautiful. The armor of God is Christ. And Paul says hundreds of times in the New Testament, the believers are in Christ. You and I, at the moment of our salvation, were baptized into the armor of God, Christ. How is that applied? By setting our mind on the things above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of the Father, not on the things that are on this earth. Why, it's going crazy down here. For He has died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You're clothed in the armor of God. Well, then activate it. Walk by faith in it. Keep your head in God's Word. Keep relying on the Holy Spirit, and you'll be walking in the armor of God because you'll be walking in Christ. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. I mean, we got to be careful. I mean, we're seeing stuff on the news now from Christians. And it's like their faith is waning because of what they see going on. But the Bible tells us what's going to happen. I believe we're living in it now. We got to keep our mind on the God who cannot lie. We got to keep our mind on the Word of God. We got to live our life turning our thoughts to the Holy Spirit in us all day long. If we are faithless, He's still faithful. We're like this sometimes, but keep saying, everybody seems confused. Everybody's up and down. People are getting mad. People are now fighting who are Southern Baptists over the whole topic of Israel right now. Keep my mind on the One who cannot lie, the One who is faithful, even though my faithfulness may wane, He remains faithful. The reason, God cannot deny Himself because He's perfect, He's righteous, and He's love. He cannot deny Himself. 2 Corinthians 1:20, listen to this. For all the promises of God, all of them, in Him, in Himself, He cannot deny Himself, 2 Timothy. He said, all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, agreed to the glory of God through us by the Holy Spirit. So, Romans 8:28. I know you've never heard of this verse, but listen, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Let me tell you this. If you love God, and if your love for God is growing, you're going to have less anxiety. You're going to have more peace if your love for God is growing. When you love God and it's a growing love, it's because you see, as I keep trusting Him, He gives me His peace. Even when I don't understand something, I may be a little concerned about something, I don't understand it. But if I say, I'm just going to trust Him, the One who cannot lie, the One who cannot be opposite of who He is, I'm going to keep trusting, and then eventually it could be a day, 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, I'm going to look and say, you know what? He was faithful all the way to the point right now. He was faithful. I'm going to trust Him with the rest of this also. So when we think this way in our minds, we're going to have peace, a perfect peace. And so Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, in Him, in Christ, Christ is the armor. We're in the armor because we're in Christ. So in Him also we have obtained an inheritance. We have already obtained an inheritance. Not as we persevere, we've obtained it. We've already obtained an inheritance. Being predestined according to the purpose. Notice, not our purpose, His purpose. Not America's purpose, His purpose. Prayerfully, America could turn back to God and we'd find ourselves operating more with His purpose. Being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Let His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right? God is a trustworthy God, but we also see not only He is a trustworthy God, but we also see that He is a constant God. He's steady, and in all of our anxiety and worry in our soul, where our mind, will, and emotions are, we think, I don't know if He's trustworthy or not. God, are You awake up there? Do You not see what's happening? No, He's constant. He can't be opposite of who He is. Verse 4, again, in Isaiah 26, trust in the Lord forever. For in God, the Lord is everlasting strength. Literally, that everlasting strength means a rock. God is a rock. Peter, the rock. He's a rock. So, remember when we were kids, you don't hear it much anymore. I wish we could return to some of the old hymns. But y'all remember the Rock of Ages. He says, trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord is everlasting strength. That means He's like a rock, like a foundation, like a wall. So that classic Rock of Ages hymn was written because of Isaiah 26:4. That's why that old hymn was written. And how does it go? Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. The man who wrote that was in a thunderstorm in a cliff when he wrote those words. I forgot his name. Todd Dottie or something like that. But anyway, when we see what's happening now in America, everybody's wondering what's fixing to happen now with trying to get this peace with Israel and all that's going on. You know, it almost seems like we're going against Russia now. You say, well, Chris, we've always been against Russia. I know, but we've also had perestroika with Gorbachev. Putin has signaled that he would like to work something out with Trump, but at the same time, we know behind the scenes there's a lot of things going wrong, and there's no way to trust what's happened in Ukraine. We can't even trust our own congressmen for what really has happened in Ukraine with the money and everything. We know all that's going on. Praise God. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in Christ, the armor of God, and keep walking faithfully. Keep my mind there. Because if I'm keeping my mind on man, I'm keeping my mind on S-I-N. Because that's the ultimate problem, as we said at the beginning. So, rock, everlasting strength, speaks of a constant God. He never changes. He's trustworthy. He's not up and down, though emotionally we feel up and down. He's constant. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, when we look at these things, we see the basis of our peace is in a trustworthy God and a constant God. Second thing is this, not only the basis of our peace, the extent of our peace. What did He say? You will keep Him in perfect peace. So you say, well, I want peace. Well, you're not going to get it in and of yourself. You can forget it. In Him, you will have perfect peace. You cannot make yourself peaceful. It's in Him is perfect peace. Well, how do I go about this? Whose mind is stayed on You? And I have to keep my mind on Him. Well, why would I do that? Because I trust Him. What do you mean trust Him? The basis of our peace. He's trustworthy and He's constant. I'm going to keep my mind there and He will settle my soul by His indwelling Holy Spirit. And so, we already have peace with God. Look at Romans 5:1. You say, what do you mean peace with God? I'm going to look at two things here real quickly. Peace with God and peace of God. What do you mean peace with God? All humans are born dead in trespasses and sins. S-I-N is the whole problem with everything we're seeing on the news, everything going on in the world. S-I-N, in humans, coming from Lucifer, Satan, and his demons, that's what's happening. But, Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified, just as if I'd never sinned, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a peace made with God, but is a peace that we have that's made by God at the cross. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light. So, it's not so much a feeling of peace. Oh, man, I just want to feel peaceful. Well, I did down on the beach, I'll be honest with you. It felt good to listen to the waves. I didn't have anything that I had to do. I just could read and write and walk and do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. But the peace that he's talking about here is the Bible says you and I were born dead in our trespasses and sins. The Bible says we were alienated from God. And God sent his Son to become our sin and die with it, paying the price for it. And we have exercised faith in that. And now, though we were once alienated, we've now been reconciled to God, justified, redeemed. We have peace with God. Other than that, we could not have been in his presence because we stood in sin and he can't be in the presence of sin. But because now we believed in what Christ has done, we've been placed in the armor of God. We've been placed in Christ Jesus. When God the Father looks at God the Son, he sees us in him so we can be in his presence. So, because we can be in his presence, we have peace with God. But the beautiful thing is this. Not only do we have eternal peace with God, Mr. Peace himself lives inside of us. That's where on this earth we can get some calmness. So, the believer stands forever inside of Christ, and God has declared not guilty, justified, just as if I'd never sinned. So we have peace with God. But we also have the peace of God. Where do you see this? Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Listen to this. Be anxious for nothing. All right? You turn on the news later and you watch it. You see more and more brothers and sisters in Christ are arguing. They're mad over different people's positions on Israel and so many other things. Paul says here, by the Holy Spirit, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. What do you mean, with thanksgiving? You say, how can I pray with thanksgiving in the midst of the mess that we're in? Because he is a trustworthy God. He is a constant God. He can't deny himself. He cannot lie. Everything we read, most of which is fulfilled, is obvious. He's in control, we're not. So therefore, with that in mind, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, that's the Holy Spirit. We already have peace with God, the indwelling Holy Spirit, which surpasses all understanding. What will he do? He will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, the Amplified Bible says he will set as an umpire over your heart and your mind. So, God did not leave us alone here. He sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of the true believer. Look at these verses. He is our peace. Listen to this. Ephesians 2:14. For he himself is our peace. We could actually stop there. I could have said, we're going to talk today about peace, perfect peace. And then I could have went to this verse and said, he is our peace, and then we could have left. The truth is, he is our peace. You could be around the most calm, peaceful person, whoever that person is on this earth. But if you were with him all day long, you'd see times where their peace was shaken a little bit. He, Mr. Peace, is our peace inside of us. Our problem is we don't abide in him to the degree we should. And then we get like this and think, God, where are you? He's constant. He's the same place he's always been. He's constant. So, Ephesians 2:14, he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. So, the Jews and the Gentiles. All right, John chapter 14, verse 27, listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. But then he says, well, what is this peace? My peace I give to you. He said, I'm leaving peace with you. He's saying, my peace I give to you. All right? Then he says, not as the world, America, which we love, gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Why did he say that? Because he knows, apart from himself and his peace, your hearts can be troubled because of three letters. Sin came into the world, and it's flooded this whole world up to this very day, and it's causing us to be like that. But his peace is constant. It's eternal. We have peace with God because of the cross. We have the peace of God, which is the indwelling Holy Spirit, which he said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole, look at this now, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our spirit is where our conscience is. It's where our intuition is. Our spirit is where the Holy Spirit resides inside of these physical bodies. Our soul is where our mind is, where we think. Over and over again, he said, keep your mind on the one who cannot sin. Keep your mind on the one who's constant. Keep your mind on the one who can't be opposite of who he is. So our mind, our will, and our emotions are in our soul, and all that's inside of the physical body. So he says, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, he is peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead by the Holy Spirit, he did this, that great shepherd, capitalized, of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so, we see that he is our peace. We have peace with God. We have the peace of God. And then, thirdly, here, we have an eternal position of peace. And then I think I'll wrap it up at this. Psalm 37:37. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright. For the future, talking about our individual future, of that man is peace. Mark the blameless man. That doesn't mean he's Mr. Perfect, but he is a man that keeps his mind trusting in him who created him and died for him. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. So therefore, what do? We choose to keep our mind on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We choose to let the Holy Spirit live in and through us, and our minds will stay calm with the peace of the Holy Spirit. We already have peace with God because of the cross. So presently, we must abide in him. Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are what? With me. The biggest problem I see in Christianity, and this is not, I don't have the spirit of the elder brother. I'm not beating sheep. I love to feed sheep. I just don't know many Christians who think of God as living in them instead of just thinking of God as in heaven, a crown on his head, a stern look on his face, a scepter in his hand, sitting on a throne room chair, always disappointed in him. Most Christians on this earth see God that way instead of seeing him as living in and through them. And as I love to say, oil in the lamp, gas in the car, Christ in the Christian. Simply, we can't enjoy this perfect peace without realizing it's not my peace, everything's going perfect, but it's Mr. Peace living in and through me.